Hi, I'm Gary Check, lead pastor at Grace Community Christian Fellowship in Flint, Michigan. And you're watching Growing with Grace. This show is intended to be an opportunity to teach God's Word and to understand it in a way that helps us as believers and followers of Christ to live lives worthy of Christ as well. We hope that you enjoy this biblical teaching from Growing with Grace. In the quotable Spurgeon, he writes this, Charles Haddon Spurgeon: "Once I heard a story of a foolish man who declared he could fight the whole British army. When he was asked how he could draw so long a bow as that, he said, 'This is what I would do. I know I am the best swordsman in the world, so I would go and challenge one British soldier and kill him, and then take another and kill him. In this way, I only want time enough, and I would kill the whole British army.' That was a ridiculous boast," Spurgeon goes on to say, "but if we want to conquer the world for the Lord Jesus Christ, rest assured, we must do it in this foolish man's fashion. We must take people one by one, and these must be brought to Christ. Otherwise, the great mass will remain untouched. Do not imagine for a moment that you are going to convert a nation at once. You are to convert the people of that nation one by one through the power of God's Holy Spirit. It is not for you to suit your machinery and arrange your plans for the moving of a mass as such. You must look to the salvation of the units, one by one." And that's exactly how each one of us came to Christ, one by one. You may have been in a large setting. You may have been in maybe in a revival, but you still came to Christ one by one. But there's a problem. And the problem is that the church tends to kind of clam up. And we talk about things that excite us. We talk about things that are important to us. But when it comes to matters of faith, you know, we tend to clam up. John MacArthur has noted that some Christians are like the Arctic River, frozen over at the mouth. They just don't say anything. We are called to be bold, and we're facing a new year. 2012 is a couple of days left. Actually, one day left, isn't it? And we move into the new year. If you're willing to speak out in a variety of subjects in which you have passion, why is it when it comes to matters of life and death, we seem to plead the fifth? Yesterday I had the opportunity, the honor, of participating in Dar Christensen's funeral. And it was the longest funeral I've ever been a part of. It was 2 hours long. You know, but all of these great football greats, Rick Leach spoke, Jappy Oliver, who was played football in our high school and then went on to greatness, and others that were there. In fact, I was nervous before this because, Pat, I said, could I in some way maybe sing a song? I would love to honor Dar. And she said, would you also speak? And I go, yeah, because I was the only non-football person speaking up there, but I wanted them to see him in matters of faith. Because although Dar Christensen was a great football coach, he also was a coach of life as well, encouraged me in my faith, and was proud of things that were going on in my life that for 30 years, even though we hadn't seen each other, it made a difference in my life. We have to be people who breathe life into other people. We have to see life, this life, as temporary, and that it's a matter of life and death. And today I want to offer you a challenge for this coming year to give you some tools in helping you to facing the new year with boldness. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you again for this time, and we thank you for this last Sunday in 2012. And as we cast our vision towards 2013, we pray for encouragement, inspiring a vision, Father, to seek the lost and not simply shift the sheep, to share the love of Christ to those who don't know you, that they might come to know you, put their love and trust and faith in you, that they would see this world in a different way. Help us to see the urgency of such a thing in this time as you bless us with your word in Christ's name. Amen. Today we're going to jump and look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 18. Take a time and turn your Bibles to there. If you didn't bring a Bible, you can grab a chair Bible in front of you and turn to the page that is up there. New Testament, page 182. We're going to go back next week and look at verses 1 through 7 of chapter 3. But it dealt with husbands and wives, and I didn't want you to be held accountable by your children in this time and have weapons used against you. So when they're in K2 next week, we will do and discuss those things. But this section that Peter gives to us is a really good section to look at a new year and a change in life. Chapter 3, verse 8 of 1 Peter. To sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. For the one who desires life to love and see those days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good and must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are towards the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation. Do not be troubled. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is within you, yet with gentleness and reverence. And keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. For it is better, if God should will it so, that you suffer for doing what is right rather than for doing what is wrong. For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. There are many ways in which we can face the new year with boldness. First one is this: in our contrary to the world actions. To sum it up, verse 8, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but given a blessing instead, for you were called for this very purpose, that you might inherit a blessing. We have inherited a blessing the minute that we put our faith in Jesus Christ. And because of that, our actions should be different. Because we have such a great inheritance that's going to be coming to us, we should live that way. And the fact is that the more that come to Christ doesn't diminish our inheritance. We need to live a life that's contrary to the world. Not against the world, but seeing the world in a way that needs to know Christ. Because in the world, number one is most important, which is yourself. In God's eyes, we are to seek other people and see other people as greater than ourselves. To build them up, to lift them up, to encourage them. The only source of strength to accomplish this attitude and focus is found in the Lord. We can't do it in our own strength. We can try, but we're going to fail. We can't find it in our family and our friends. We can't find it in our spouse. We can't even find it in our church family. We can only find it in God, because God's strength is limitless. His encouraging is limitless. His desire for us to do these is limitless. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, Paul says this: that is why I'm suffering as I am, yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. Paul is talking about something entrusted very much like a deposit is put into a bank account, into a bank where rust and moth cannot destroy. Things that we do for God, for his glory, are reserved in heaven. They can't be diminished. They can't be taken away. The Bible says, even a cold cup of water offered in my name, surely that person will not lose the reward. It's not the magnitude, but the heart behind it that's important. If we are facing life with boldness, we are growing in our Christ-likeness, in our actions in him, seeking to see our lives as an opportunity to bring glory to God. I was nervous yesterday going into that, because I was kind of a nerdy guy in high school. I know it's hard to believe. But I, the glasses geek kind of guy, one taco short of a combination plate, one guy who just wanted to do athletics but just couldn't, measure up. I was the last guy cut from the varsity basketball team my senior year. The last guy. You know what that's like? That's terrible. It's the worst, because you were that close of achieving a dream. So you wrestle because they need wrestlers on the team. And you are horrible. But you want to do something. And anyway, well, that's a whole other story down the road. But the reason I was a little bit nervous because I hadn't seen some of these people in 30, 40 years, you know. And I wanted to make sure that pride was not an issue for me, to be honest with you. Because God gave me a voice to use. God gave me a voice not only to speak, which in high school I spoke much, much faster because I'm from Michigan. And he also gave me a voice to sing. And I wanted my motivation, my heart attitude to be right. I wanted to bless, not to prove. Because I have nothing to prove to man at all. And that was a tremendous relief in my life when I realized that. I wanted to live contrary to the world, not to impress anyone, but to bless everyone. You know the difference? That's a hard thing, and that's a thing to wrestle with. And we have to watch on that. Because when we live in Christ's likeness, our desire is to be used by God to be a blessing, not to have ourselves stand out, but to get out of the way that people might see him. A system of theology does not save, only a person. His name is Jesus Christ. No matter how you live your life, no matter how much you give to the church, I don't care how much time you serve, the only way you have value in that is because your life was saved by Jesus Christ. Your sins were forgiven so that you might live differently for him in this life. But it all comes back to Jesus. And I don't think the church lives that strong enough. I think that we pull back for some reason. And why not let Christ show through? Why not encourage other people? Why not be different so that Christ can be glorified? Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 to 33. I want to share this today because this gets used a lot. Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Do you know where this gets used a lot? Emails, these religious, lovely, pithy things that come at the very end, they put this. And challenge you to send it on. Don't send it on. Whatever you do, don't send it on. If you do, cut that part out and then send it on. Because sending on an email or not sending on an email is not confessing or denying your Savior before men. You know what it is? It's living your life for Christ that makes a difference in people's eyes, that they can see Christ. Therefore, everyone who confesses, which means acknowledges, by not saying an email, you're not denying him. And I really get irritated with that. And sometimes I send a little note, please, great message, great little lovely thing, just don't add that part. You can take that part out because it has nothing to do with our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. There's so many more things that we can do and besides saying on or not saying on an email. The Lord is our strength to face the new year with boldness of heart. And in order to do that, Christ has got to be at the center, the very source. Paul's letter to the church in Philippi, he said, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I can do all, which is an inclusive statement, everything. I can only do what I did yesterday in front of all those people and the pressure because God was there at the center of it, and I wasn't. God will use you in situations and give you the strength to bring him glory if you just get out of the way. If we've placed our faith in Christ, we can face the new year with boldness, demonstrating it in our honest struggle. Verse 10, for the one who desires life, to love and to see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Peter quotes from Psalm 34 right here. And we have to acknowledge, we have to be honest that life is a struggle. Life is not easy. And it was interesting yesterday that several people talked about struggling in life. But Christ made the difference. And many times, Dar's input in their lives made a difference. Struggle that was at the brink of despair. In drugs and alcohol and other things that, you know, that Christ redeemed them and brought them back to a place. We don't always say the right thing or do the right thing, but God doesn't give us the option of giving up or giving in. He wants to take us through. Struggles are put into our lives to strengthen us, not to defeat us. They are to teach us, not to destroy us. And when we embrace those things and go through to see what God's going to do, we can see a mighty work. Verse 13, who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled. Our lives should be lived with a confidence and optimism, thank you, that draws people to Christ. It's not that blind smile that is just Stafford Wives, if you know what that movie reference is, that everything's okay. It's the fact that it's okay because God says it's okay. It's even in death, we don't grieve without hope because we know that this life is not our home. This is the temporary time. This is our alien residence until we go to our true home, which is with Christ. We need to live that. We need to live that confidence that there's something about a financial cliff, I think, that's coming up, whatever. You know, there's always been those type of things. There's always been difficulties, and they go back thousands of years. There's nothing new under the sun, Solomon says in Ecclesiastes. There's always difficulties, but there's always the answer too, which is Christ. Paul also wrote to Timothy, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, meaning fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline, meaning self-control, of sound mind. That mind is set in God that even though things look bleak, things look challenging, there's a reason for it. Sometimes in pastoral ministry, you know, you get hit with things from time to time. And I know that both of our families have said, sometimes you just can't catch a break, you know. But you know that God's in control. You know that the privilege of adding a new front drive shaft to your wife's Jeep, that there's a reason for it. And the reason might be that it didn't drop down and cause her Jeep to vault over and cause greater problems. You trust God, there's a reason for it. Is it fun? No. But you know who's still in control. That power, that love, and self-discipline should be seen in boldness and displaying Christ first in our lives. I am not first place. I do not have first place in my wife's heart. That's reserved for Christ. Just as she knows that my first love is my Savior. She's a very close second. If we don't put Christ in his proper place, nothing else makes sense. Nothing else fits together. And we have to see that in relationship with him as paramount in our lives so that people can see that as well. Verse 15. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts always. What's that word? Always good, being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is within you, yet with gentleness and reverence. We should always be ready to give our testimony. We should always be ready to give a witness of why there's hope within us. Yeah, things are difficult, things are tough, but I believe that God's in control. I believe that God has an answer for this. I don't know what it is yet, but I'm going to seek him first, not everyone around me. I'm going to seek God first, run to God first. God knows where I put my keys. There's been some things recently, I know, that were lost, but I pray for those things now. I don't care what they are, you know, that I can find them. There's still some things that God's keeping from me yet, but that's okay. They'll come up eventually. Why not make him that integral part of everything in your life? He knows where they are, right? Whatever you've lost, he knows where it is, true? Why not ask him? I don't think God is that devious that he wants to keep it, you know, from us. He might, in very unusual ways, bring us to those things. Keep a good conscience so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. Christ will lead us into opportunities to share him with others. He helped you with your sin condition. Why would he not use you to help others? That's the part that I become more and more focused on and passionate about. God saved me from my sin. God wiped my sin away. Why would I not be so encouraged by that and so impassioned by that I want him to do that to other people rather than leaving them all behind? You know, why isn't the church fervently seeking to let people see there's an answer to all that muck in their lives? Why aren't we desiring to see, you know, that it's not a religion that saves you, but a relationship with Jesus Christ? We have to display Christ first in our lives to other Christians. That's important. You know, yes, we have our differences. Yes, we're different people. Yes, some people are lovely to be around. Some are a little irksome. But we're all believers in Christ if we put our faith in him. And there needs to be a love and seeing Christ first in our lives within the body of Christ. 1 John 3, verse 14, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Critical people can be a death blow to a church because nothing is right. But you know what? There are problems in families. Families are not perfect. You always hear things that are going on. That's just the way things are. But what is the source of the family? It's Christ. And Christ is perfect. And he calls us to holiness. He calls us to righteousness, not to bickerness. If you cannot love your own brother in the fellowship of Christ, how can you even go out and love people into a relationship with Christ? What will you bring them to? We're called to unity. A house divided cannot stand. There are essentials and non-essentials. Kevin and I were talking about that a little bit this morning, that the different views of end times, eschatology, you know, there's the pre-trib, mid-trib, post-tribulation, there's the all-mill. Even though it says in Revelation, Christ will reign for 1,000 years, that's just figurative. There are those who believe that. But that shouldn't divide us. You know why? Because we'll know when we know. But if we stand on those things that are non-essential, what's essential? That Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, that he died a sinless man, buried, rose on the third day, ascended to heaven. That's essential. Bless you. Not what kind of music do you have. Does your pastor teach expository or topical, or does he just talk? Those things are not essential. And Christ will bless the essentials when it focuses on him. We have to display that Christ is first. Christian fellowship, giving grace out. Confession, repentance, acceptance are to be demonstrated within the body of Christ. I'm not talking about condoning sin. I'm not saying, well, whatever you do is okay because Christ loves us all. No, that's not what I'm saying. But we're not called to be judge and jury. That's reserved for God. We can point out sins. You may want to consider that because you're living a lifestyle that's totally contrary. But you better do some self-examination first. Like I said, whenever you point a finger at somebody, there's always three pointing back at you. 3-1's the ratio, people. Practice hope in the body, but be ready to share that hope to a world that is in need as well. Practice it here, but also live it out in the world. Keep a good conscience so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. Be mindful of what the world is seeing in you. As you face the new world, this new year in the world, seek to focus in on God so what the world sees in you is that they see Christ first and foremost. Don't give them ammunition to shoot you down. Keep your behavior respectable. And then their criticism cannot stick. Face the new year with boldness, the fourth one, with a challenge but unshakable trust. For verse 17, it is better if God should will it so that you suffer for doing what is right rather than for doing what is wrong. For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring to us God, having been put to death in the flesh but made alive in the spirit. A challenge but unshakable trust was expressed to me 3 months ago when I sat with Dar Christensen and the visitation of his son Todd, who had passed away at age 48. And we're sitting on the chair watching his wife, Pat, graciously talk to every person that came through at the head of her son's casket. And Dar says, you know, Gary, how can people do this without Jesus? He wasn't speaking despair. He was acknowledging the fact that people without Christ have no hope. People without Christ can't face death with joy because he knew where his son was. Did he miss him? Yes. Did he grieve? Yes. But he didn't have to grieve without hope. When people tell you at times in funerals, well, they're in a better place, they may not be. That is the reality. They would like to think it is because God is love, but God is also just too. He gives us the guidelines for this life. He uses us as an opportunity to reach people to understand those guidelines because it's not about us. It's about him. It's about his truth, his love, his compassion for his creation. But he uses us in that process. And Dar, in that time, shared a challenged, at the face of death of his son, but unshakable trust. He knew where his trust was. And I was able to use that testimony yesterday as well and to share that. And Pat wanted me to make sure I shared that. Because they, to their family, to their children, to their grandchildren, which was a lot, they want to show faith. That is their greatest desire. All the football accolades that, and this man was a well-documented, decorated man, had many awards, which I didn't know because I was gone on the West Coast, but he was something. But that didn't matter to him as much as it did faith. If we are in Christ, we have passed over from death into life. And although faith will be tested, it can never be destroyed. I want to leave you a couple thoughts here. Christians are to face the new year differently. First is this: don't be afraid of those who you think can do you harm. They have nothing over you. As Peter said in verse 13, who's going to harm you if you're eager to do good? Instead, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Live as brothers. Be compassionate, tender-hearted, humble. Don't repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but return insult with a blessing. Be different. People cannot harm us. Why make such an effort to live this boldly? Because you were called to do so because you've received an inheritance. One that can grow, one that can never be taken away, but one that can be shared as well. Secondly, be prepared in all circumstances to give your witness. Be ready for divine appointments. Everyone should be able to share their faith and testimony of how they came to Christ. If you can't do that, come to Pastor Roland, to myself, to James, to Kevin, to Tom Honan, to the elders. Come, and that we can talk to you about that so you have those words. Because if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have a testimony and you have a witness, and you need to know it. It shouldn't be amnesia. It shouldn't be it was such a long time ago. It's important to know this because God uses this to touch other people. I was encouraged years ago in matters of ministry to be very honest about my life. And I've been told time and time how it's touched people that God can use divorced people. A lot of times in the churches they say that, you know, you're marked goods and you can't be used by God. That's a lie. We have a witness, we have a testimony, we need to know that. Apologetics is a defense of the gospel. It's not an offensive weapon. That's Satan's ploy. It's a defense, it's a reasonable defense of why we believe. But we're to do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience. It's not using a scattergun to intimidate people into Christ. And Christians seeking to face the new year boldly are to guard your behavior and speech as so to honor Christ always. That is not easy. That is not easy. Paul's charge to the church that Titus was an overseer. He addressed the conduct that should be displayed by the older men to the younger men. Paul wrote this: in everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. We have a saying between in our staff that we don't take ourselves seriously, but we do take God seriously. A lot of times you hear the phrase, something going on, thank you for playing, because there's joy in serving God, but there's also a seriousness too, because it is a matter of life and death. It is important to honor Christ always in all that we do. And I tell you, Satan will be out there, at that door knocking to tempt you and to knock you down. But we don't have to listen. Don't give Satan an opportunity within the body to drive wedges where there should be none. God is not the author of confusion. And when you see it there, run to God. Don't give the world an opportunity to increase their defiance of God by our defiance, our display of hypocrisy towards each other. My final encouragement, face the new year with boldness and live for the glory of Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your graciousness towards us, that you have us here to be used in your plan to reach others in matters of sin, of matters of life and death. And Father, may we see this new year as an opportunity to reach people for Christ. May you keep our hearts right. May you keep our hearts tender towards you. May we see you as the resource and solution of all things, so that in all things you may receive glory, honor, and praise as well. And Father, we ask these things in Christ's precious name. Amen.
Every soul we long to reach, every heart we hold to teach, everywhere we share His peace, is only by His grace. Every loving word we say, every tear we wipe away, only by His grace alone, which God supplies. Strength unknown, He will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone, we will go forth in grace alone.
Grace alone,
grace alone, which God supplies. Strength unknown, will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone, we will go forth in grace alone. We will go forth in grace alone.
Father, help us go forth in grace alone, that you might receive all the glory. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. Happy New Year. Thank you for spending this time with us. And just a reminder that we're a church, a non-denominational Christian church on Davison Road near Center Road, right next to McDonald's. And if you've enjoyed this service, if you enjoyed this message, please come and spend a Sunday morning or Sunday evening with us, and we'd love to see you in person. You can read more about us at www.grace247.org. God bless.